Are you in a warfare, beloved? And the question is, in this warfare, are you going to know victory or are you going to be defeated? I think a lot of it has to do with understanding who your enemy is and understanding who God is. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want you to understand God's precepts for life so that you can win the battle over the enemy. It's something that you need to know. If you're going to be God's man, God's woman in this hour and in this crucial, crucial day, then beloved, you've got to know how to stand against the enemy. Because believe me, life is a warfare, and that's what you can expect. You can expect the warfare because the prince of this world, the man that rules, the one that rules over this world is the evil one. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. There's the kingdom of Satan and there's the kingdom of God. And never shall the two meet. So you can expect warfare. But when you go into this warfare, what you need to understand is a few principles as you face your Goliath. Because God wants to bring Goliath down, but he uses human vessels to do it. And so this is what we want to see as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm giving you some principles now, principles of warfare and in how you deal with your Goliath. Remember, a Goliath is an enemy. Well, what I want us to do is I want us to begin by going to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and picking up where I left off. Remember, they have tried to discourage David. They have said, you know, you're just a youth. You can't fight against this Goliath. And this is what Saul has said also. His brother discourages him, and then Saul discourages him. He says, this man is an experienced warrior, and you're just a youth. This man, this Philistine, this Goliath has been a warrior since his youth. I mean, you're just a shepherd boy. But it doesn't matter who you are, as long as you know whose you are, and as long as you understand that you have an enemy, and you know how to do spiritual warfare. Well, this is a warfare, and it's a warfare because what has happened is Goliath, this Philistine, has come out and he has defied the armies of the living God. And knowing that, David has said, no more. I'm the one. I'll go. Nobody else is gone. You've had 40 days of fear. I'm here. And I know that God will deliver this Philistine into my hands. Well, as he prepares to go, what you see is you see David speaking to Saul, and he says, your servant, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Now, if you're marking your Bible like we teach you to do, then you want to put a black cloud, just take a fine point pen and put a black cloud around he has taunted the armies of the living God. Now, we have marked this by way of review in verse 10 and in verse 26. You say you found those quickly. That's right, because they're marked. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to study along with us, because if you're going to win the war, you've got to know God and you've got to know the enemy. And this book, the Bible, will teach you about the enemy. And this book, the Bible, will teach you about God, and it'll teach you how you go to war and how you come out victoriously. So you want to learn how to study. That's why I urge you to go to our website, which is preceptsforlife.com. preceptsforlife.com, and there You can even download the study guide and go along with us, mark the text. And if you're not ready to mark your Bible, at least you can mark the text of Scripture that we give you that goes with this portion of our study. Well, David turns around and he says in verse 37, "The Lord has delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Now, one of the points that we looked at was that, and it was our third point. And let me go back and just give you the other two, just to bring you up to date. But if you miss these, you need to get the series. You need to go online, order the series, pick up the phone, whatever's most convenient for you, and get the series of how do you deal with the Goliaths in your life. All right, the first point that I showed you was that you're not to be dismayed by the enemy. You've got to remember that the enemy is man just like you are, and you're not to fear. You're not to be dismayed, and you're not to fear, because the fear of man brings a snare. You're to trust in God. The second point, and that's just a brief summary, the second point was that you need to remember, you need to keep on remembering who this enemy is coming against, because it's not just against you, it's against God. Because if Christ is in you, then your enemies are Christ's enemies. And we're going to see that as we look at covenant when we come to 1 Samuel chapter 18. The third thing that I said was don't be swayed by the discouragement of others. Now, how do you keep from being swayed by the discouragement of others? You have faith in God. And so you need to have faith. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, those who come to God must believe that He is God, and that He, God, is a rewarder of those who earnestly, who diligently seek Him. So you and I have to have faith, and that's what keeps us from being discouraged by others. You've got to learn not to listen to all these multiple voices around you. Yes, there's godly counsel, but you're going to get all sorts of discouragement when you start to stand for God. And that's what David faced, and he faced it in these verses just before this. Well, one of the things that I didn't take you to was 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want us to go there because it's so important in warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we have Paul in a state of warfare. And 2 Corinthians, Paul bears his heart like in no other place in the Word of God. And you learn so much from his life. I've written a study that you can do on your own, and it's called Lord, Give Me a Heart for You. And it's all about Paul's heart for God, which Paul says, be an imitator of me, even as I am of Christ. Well, Paul was in a constant warfare, and he was in a constant warfare because he was on the front lines, because he was invading the enemy's territory, because he was snatching God's sheep out of the snare of the evil one, out of the clutches of this evil one that was a thief that sought to come and to kill and to destroy. And so he was rescuing them. Well, in the midst of this warfare, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, let me go back to verse 3. He says this, for though we walk in the flesh, though you live in a fleshly body, he says, we do not war according to the flesh. You live in the flesh, but your warfare is not fleshly. It's not fleshly. You don't pull out weapons of the flesh to fight the enemy, because your warfare is not against flesh and blood. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but they are divinely powerful. It's not human power, it's divine power. For they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. In other words, the enemy wants to build a fortress. The enemy wants to build, you know, a wall, a barrier in your heart and in your mind. And so this is what he says. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And then he says this, we are destroying. Now watch what he's destroying. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up, and this is so key, against the knowledge of God. Remember, I have told you over and over and over again that knowing God is absolutely critical. It has to be a number one priority in your life's goals is to know God, because the people that know God are able to display strength. They're able to stand firm. They're able to take action. And this is why David could go out and he could face Goliath, because he knew his God. He knew that God had delivered him. It wasn't his own prowess. It wasn't his own flesh. It wasn't his own strength. It was God that had delivered him from the power, from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. David was able to grab the beard of that lion and just punch his lights out because it was God that had given him that deliverance. It was God that had given him that power. So he says that the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but they're divinely powerful. And he goes on to say, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Now, where's the battle? The battle's in the mind. The battle is in the mind. Fear is of the mind. You know, perfect love casts out fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. How do you know how to handle yourself in fear? You know what God says. You have the knowledge of God. You put it in your mind. When the enemy comes and he comes with his weapons, his speculations, when he comes with lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God, you are able to resist them. Why? Because you know God. And so you destroy those speculations. You destroy every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And this is how you do it. He says, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. How do you handle the enemy? How do you handle the fear? How do you handle the discouragement? How do you handle these things that come against you? You walk in the knowledge of God, and you bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It's all one right here. It's a matter of the mind. Now, it's not a matter of positive thinking. It's not a matter of having a good self image. It's a matter of knowing what God says and remembering that what God says is pure, absolute, unadulterated truth. And this is the way you fight the enemy. The sword of the Spirit. You have one and only one offensive weapon in spiritual warfare, because you only need one. And it says, and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's your one and only offensive weapon. So what do? You whip out truth, you keep truth in your mind, and you bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So if that thought does not measure up to what God says, it's gone. This is what it's all about. I mean, there's more to say, but we'll do it right after the break. And I want you to know you are beloved. You're beloved of God, and you're beloved of me. You're precious in His sight. I just hope you realize that. So many times we just think that we're worthless, that we have no value, no importance, but that is not true. That is a lie from the enemy. And if you're believing that, you're in warfare and you need to bring that thought captive. Well, remember, we were looking at the fact that this is a warfare. And this warfare is fought by faith, by bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, by walking by what the Word of God says, by wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter, you see how these people won the victory. In Hebrews 11, verse 32, he says, "What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness." In other words, when it wasn't popular to be righteous, they by faith performed acts of righteousness. Righteousness is taking God at His word and ordering your life accordingly, ordering your behavior accordingly. They obtain promises, and you obtain promises by faith when you believe God. Faith is what shows the testing of your faith is what shows the reality of your faith, because that's when you rely on God and you obtain that promise. They shut the mouths of lions. Now, Daniel did that, but also so did David. I mean, he bearded the lion and belted him and put him to death. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others, and now here's the switch, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, they said, "I'm going to believe God and I'm going to stand for God, and don't deliver me. I want to have a better resurrection. I want to get a fuller reward." And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. You say, well, they weren't victorious. Yes, they were. Listen, it says they were stoned, they were sawn in two. That's what they think happened to Isaiah the prophet. They were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these gained approval. God's approval through their faith, And they didn't even receive what was promised. They hadn't even seen the Messiah. You and I know that Jesus is the Christ. We know that He is the Messiah. We know that we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. These people were not even indwelt by the Spirit of God, but they walked by faith. They brought every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You say, but Jesus Christ didn't exist. Jesus Christ is all the way through the Old Testament. He's called the Mashiach HaMashiach, the Messiah, the Promised One. Well, let's go back now and let's look at the next point that we come to in this contest between David and Goliath. And as we look at it, remember, we're talking about how you deal with the Goliaths in your life, how you bring down the enemy. Well, remember, David says the Lord delivered him, and the Lord can deliver him from the hand of this Philistine. That's faith. And David said, and Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed David with armor. David girded his sword over his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. He was wearing someone else's armor. So David said to Saul, "I can't go with these, for I have not tested them." And David took them off, and he took a stick in his hand and chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Now, how is he going to battle? He's not going to battle, and listen carefully, in untested armor. He's going to battle in the way that he knows and the way that he is tested. He has been a shepherd boy. He has brought down the lion. He has brought down the bear. He has protected his sheep. What did he have? He had a sling and he had stones. And that's all that he needed. Which brings me to the next point. How do you do battle against your Goliath? How do you bring them down? Well, the fourth point that I want you to get is this. You don't go to battle in someone else's armor. You don't go to battle in someone else's armor. You wear tested armor. In other words, you know that this works. And so by tested armor, what I'm saying is this, that you have to have that experience. You have to know God. You have to know the promises of God. You can't run on just what your preacher teaches you. You can't run just on what you hear from a televangelist. You can't just sit there and let it be a one-way thing where you just hear these truths, but you have not tested them. You have not tried them. You have not put them into practice. You've just heard them. You've heard about others having miracles or others doing this or seeing that. And so you say, well, if others did it, I can do it too. Now, you have to go back to the Word of God. This is your armor. This is your armor. And when you study Ephesians chapter 6, he says that you are in a warfare. Let's look at it for just a minute because it's so absolutely vital and it goes right along with what I'm saying. Now, Ephesians is the New Testament epistle on spiritual warfare. And he mentions that warfare from the first chapter all the way through to the last chapter. And in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, he starts this way, "Finally, brethren," he's bringing the letter to a close except for some personal comments. And he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might," not yours, his might. "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." The devil's schemes, the devil has a methodia. He has a way of attack. You need to know your enemy. You need to know his ways. You need to know that he's a liar. You need to know that he's a murderer. You need to know that he abides not in the truth. You need to know that he's a deceiver. You need to know that he puts on the disguise and disguises himself as an angel of light. You need to know that he has his own apostles. He has his own prophets, and they come close to the truth, but they don't line up against the plumb line of God's word. And that's why the symbol of Precept Ministries is a plumb line, because a plumb line shows you what is straight. A plumb line shows you what is true, and the Bible is the plumb line. So he says, you need to stand firm against the devil. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against world forces of darkness, even the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm, so that you're not tossed to and fro." Then he names the armor, and every piece of the armor, we don't have time to go into it today, but every piece of the armor has to do with the Word of God. You gird your loins with the belt of truth. That's the Word of God. You hold up the shield of faith. That's the Word of God. You put on the helmet of salvation. That's the Word of God. You shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the Word of God. You put on the breastplate of righteousness, because that's the Word of God. Here I go. I told you we didn't have time for it, and I'm doing it. So what I want you to see, and this is the next principle that is so important for you to remember, and that is that you don't go into battle with someone else's armor on. You've got to have tried and tested armor, and that comes from the Word of God. Go for it. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Does time fly by for you on this program like it flies by for me? I mean, I can't believe that we've come to the end of the program. But at least when we come to the end of the program, we come to that very practical time where we look at our precept for life. What is our takeaway value from this lesson? Well, basically, I would tell you it's everything that we've covered. But I want to wrap it up by taking you to 2 Chronicles. And I want us to go to 2 Chronicles, and it is chapter 32. 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. And I want you to see this principle of warfare being played out even in another person's life. You know, it's one thing to see it in David's life, but it's again to see it in the life of Joshua, to see it in the life of Hezekiah, and that's what we're going to look at. We've looked at it in the life of Jehoshaphat as we've done cross-references. But it's so important that you understand that you and I, in the midst of spiritual warfare, in the midst of facing our Goliaths, are to do this. Be strong and courageous. I'm in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria. In other words, the enemy takes on human shape and human form, sometimes as an individual, sometimes as a government, sometimes as a court, sometimes as a team that's in litigation against you. It takes on human form. And God's word to you and his precept for you today is be strong and be courageous. Do not fear. Remember, the fear of man brings a snare. Remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear. Do not fear or be dismayed. Dismayed means you're thrown. You're just thrown, absolutely thrown. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. You don't know how to handle it. That's what dismayed means. He says, because of the king of Assyria and because of all the horde that is with him. Why? He says, for the one who is with us is greater than the one who was with him. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be dismayed. You can be strong and courageous because the one that is with you is greater than the one that's with the human enemy. That's the devil. But you've got God on your side. With him, with the enemy, is only an arm of flesh. But with us, the Lord our God is there to help us and to fight our battles. When you go into warfare, know this, beloved, you never go alone. Not if you take not the earthly weapons, but the weapons of your warfare, which are mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. Go, beloved, stand firm. You're the victor.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.